I will probably end the podcast there because that is perfect. And I'll bring up your book and everything in the introduction. But it just, what a wonderful idea to write a book about love like this. It's so important. And I think too often it's really, I hate to say it's missing, but it's not made a priority in our lives. Towards others, especially.
I think that's true. Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, when you were talking about social media and texting and whatever, well, hard to feel the love through the text, you know, it's hard to really, you know, see or feel love. I mean, it's in this hurried world that we live in and how hurried we make our lives sometimes, I think love isn't thought of enough and really lived and considered enough.
You know, I've been on a rant lately. I do a super short podcast called Side Trips. They're less than 5 minutes. And I've been on a rant about conversations and how people don't have quality conversations anymore, partly because of the texting and we don't take time. But I think the art of conversations being lost, and I think conversations can be an act of love towards each other.
I love that. Absolutely. I love that. I think that that is so true. That, and I don't know why it is, because when you think about conversations that you have with people like this, like you and I right now, like this is a great conversation. I love talking to you. I always love talking to you, but we can talk about real things. And I think part of why conversation isn't as good as it used to be or whatever is, it has to do with love and not understanding love. Because I don't know about you, I've got friends that are in your corner all the way. They just are right there for you and you can talk to them about anything. And if you've got something good going on in life, man, they want to share it. And then I have other friends who I love, but you know that you have to be a little guarded because maybe they're not doing as much in life as they want to. So if you say something, you're going to make them feel bad and they're not really happy for you. You know, they want more themselves, which isn't love. You know, you should just be happy for people. But it's sad to ever feel like you have to be guarded in a conversation.
It is, but it's reality. I think sometimes you have to watch for envy. People have a perception of who you are. They project whatever's concerning them onto you. And they can take something that's really just pretty simple and find a way to have envy or whatever. And it just starts stirring up all these negative emotions. I'm thinking of a conversation that happened recently. And it was such a shame because it didn't have to go in that direction. But I think conversation can be an act of love in that you're giving somebody your full attention and presence in a good conversation. And when that happens, there's an exchange of energy that's wonderful. And you can't replicate that with a text or anything else.
That's absolutely so true. That's your next book, Pat, The Art of Conversation. Because it is. I mean, it's just so true. And and needed.
It is. It's what I'm so lucky. I'm so grateful. I get to have meaningful conversations with great people every week. It's amazing. It's just amazing. And it's so soul filling, if you will. I love people's stories.
I'm with you. I love to hear people's stories. I love it. Love it. Love it. Like, anytime I meet anybody, I don't want to do any talking. Well, here I'm doing all the talking or a lot of talking, but I love to hear where people have come from. You know, I mean, every day that you've lived up until today has made you who you are. And so I think that is part of life too, is realizing that people have come from somewhere and not all of it is roses and unicorns. And so sometimes we're guarded in certain ways without even realizing it because of hurts from the past. And so to work with people and be forgiving and loving no matter what is so important.
Well, and conversation is interesting too, because it can reveal yourself to yourself. For example, I was having a conversation the other day with the mindset of corporate life with somebody, and I'm way out of the corporate world, but my experience was that it was extremely cutthroat, you eat what you kill kind of mentality, and, you know, everybody's out for themselves. Now, that was a long time ago, and that's where I was in my life. That's the experience I was having. Maybe it's not true or not true for everybody now, but the person I was talking to really didn't agree with me, and she thought that the corporate life was becoming much more humane and human. And it was an interesting conversation for me because it made me question whether my perceptions were reality at all.
You know, I think though, with every corporation, every company, every church, every school, every whatever, when there is leadership at the top, people reflect that leadership. You know, it's the leadership that really determines the culture of the company. And there are great leaders and there are leaders that need to learn some things. And when you have a really good leader that fosters a great culture, it's way different than working at a place with a negative energy. And talk about energy. You know, there certainly are places that you can just feel a negative energy. And it's, to me, always a challenge, but a challenge I'm willing to take on to try to shift the energy, to try to get rid of the negative and bring positivity, which can be difficult when it's starting at the top. But it's also possible. Like you get to determine. That, and there's choices we get to make, right? Like there's things in life you'd never choose. You're not going to choose to have cancer, you're not going to choose for anyone to. You're not going to choose to get a divorce or lose your husband or anything. Those aren't choices you just would want to make. There are things we don't have control over, but we do have control over how much joy we want in our life and how much peace. And if we're going to bring positive energies or if we're going to buy into the negative. And so making the right choices and doing the right things and being you, fully you, let yourself be you and don't be changed. Too often we're influenced by other people and other people don't need to influence us. You get to be you no matter who you're around. You don't have to shift depending on who you're around. Just be yourself. Just be you.
That's so true. We are all hugely influenced by other people until we realize that everything we need or searching for is within. And when within becomes our locus of focus and control, all that shifts. But we have to get to that aha moment where we realize that all these voices around us telling us do this, be this, don't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which I think comes with maturity probably too. Like, yeah. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Pat, if we were as enlightened as we are now when we were 18 years old?
Oh my gosh.
Would you love to be 18? So different, right?
Yeah. Would you love to be 18 knowing what we know now?
Oh my word. So true. It would be a whole different life. But at the same time, we go through things the way we go through them and learn from them. So it would be awfully hard to be where we are today and be 18. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I admire about you, Pat, and I admire about other people that are like you, because not everybody is, but that you're open. You know that you don't know everything. Like I feel like the more I know, the less I know.
Yes.
Right? And so some people get kind of stuck in a, oh no, I've got a monopoly on all things true. And then there's other people that are, oh no, you know, I want to know more. You know, why do you believe that way? Or why do you feel that way? Or, you know, wow, what is this new invention? Or what's this new whatever it happens to be, and just being open. And I never want to be that 90-year-old stuck in my ways. You know, I want to always be a learner, always be a student of the world.
I so agree. One of my mantras is, what can I learn? And I usually apply it to myself, what can I learn? But it's such a big, interesting world out there. You know, I've been so mired in getting this book out and everything that I've kind of ignored my physical health. Now I'm getting back into walk, and it was very hot during the summer. I'm not a hot person. But I've been back into I'm getting back to my 3-mile-a-day loop. And it goes alongside a lake and alongside a stream. It's a really pretty walk. And yesterday, I left my computer early. I went walking with my camera. And I had such a nice time. I haven't done that in way too long. And I didn't have a time frame. I wasn't trying to travel the distance quickly. I usually, you know, make it an hour. Got to get it that 3 miles in an hour or whatever. And it was just so delightful to just be out there and kind of have some wonder, the wonder of nature, the wonder of how things are changing. I was so stunned to see how the yellow of some of the grasses had really faded in just a 2-day time. I wish I'd taken my camera out 2 days earlier because it was so stunning and now it was fading. It happened so fast. And I think those opportunities to just kind of stop and look around us, be grateful, be in wonder, learn, know that we're so small in the universe, I think those are really, really wonderful things.